Radio. The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
Pastor Mike, good afternoon. Welcome to Man in Line on Next Radio. Well, Alex was on Friday, and on Thursday we had FC Alabama. The Ravens were talking about their future, what they're doing at the moment, and if you were an attendant of one of their matches across the weekend at Ballyclone, I hope you had a good time. Certainly got the weather for it. But anyway, what's on your mind? We're open line through till 1 o'clock today. Call 66 13 68. Text or WhatsApp 166 177. Email studio at manxradio.com. Plenty of messages in, by the way, that I haven't quite got to over the past few days because it's been we've had a busy old show. But messages about double yellow lines. How double yellow lines have been proliferating, and whether or not we should have more or less double yellow lines on the Isle of Man. I suppose it depends whether you think there are more or less vehicles than there used to be. I mean, obviously there are more. It just depends what the impression is that you get, whether or not, you know, perception is reality. If you think there are more vehicles, do you think we should be restricting parking? And also, of course, residential parking. And Margaret dropped a note in just to say, I was disappointed to see how very few children there were to see the king. Where were all the children? Didn't look very good in the TV news reports. Surely all school children should have been in attendance. It was a shame for them to miss out, says Margaret. And a note from Edward, who just said, I thought you might be interested in the short words that HRH shared with me earlier regarding the Douglas Horse Tramway. Well, thank you, Edward. This is what Edward tells me that the King said, having long held a profound admiration for this unique and indeed extraordinary heritage of the Isle of Man, I'm deeply mindful of the immense historical significance of the Douglas Bay Horse Tramway. As we mark its remarkable 150th anniversary in this year of 2026, it stands as a magnificent testament to Victorian ingenuity and a living, breathing connection to our shared past. There is, I believe, an essential duty of stewardship in preserving such iconic examples of our transport history, not only merely as static museum pieces, but as vibrant working assets that continue to enrich community life and delight visitors. It's therefore my earnest hope that the admirable efforts to complete the reinstatement of the tramway along Lock Promenade section to the sea terminal will be realised to restore this final historic link would not only honour the tireless devotion of the craftsmen and volunteers who sustain this legacy, but also ensure that this splendid journey can once again be enjoyed in its rightful entirety. That's Edward, who dropped me that note regarding what was said regarding the horse tramway. I mean, obviously, he was never going to go the entire way. He only did a short stretch of it. But what do you think about those words? Not as a static museum piece, but as a vibrant working asset that continues to enrich the community life and delight visitors. The Douglas Bay Horse Tramway, our halfway horse tram. Let's get to the phones now. I think Robert's with us now. Hi, Robert.
Hi, how you doing?
Well, very well, thank you. And yourself?
Yeah, we're okay. We're over at Gry, just having a bit of a nosh on, you know, with the toast and cheese and what have you, and everything's going well. Look, I wanted to talk about Andy Burnham. And he seems to be a terrific community spirit. I don't know the guy, so he's got that for him. He seems to be... Well, we're waiting for the great leap forward, aren't we? The great leap forward into the unknown. The old song by Billy Bragg. So we're waiting for that now. So hopefully it'll all go well.
Well, it's got nothing to do with us, really. I mean, it just depends what the relationship he has with the Isle of Man. I mean, what happens in the UK road has got nothing much to do with us.
I think it has. I think we get the community spirit over here from the UK plenty enough.
Oh, I think the Isle of Man community spirit is way ahead of the UK.
Okay, fair enough. I'll give you that. But could we get him across for Timwold?
Well, I suppose they could always ask him for next year. You never know, he might pitch up.
I think he may do, you know. I think we could get him across if Al Cannon extended the invitation to
him. We do have a secret weapon, Robert, by the way, with Andy Burnham. Well, we have a branch of the Everton Football Supporters Club over on the Isle of Man. So if we send him one of their badges or a little card, maybe he'll come over.
Hopefully. We'll see what happens anyway. But I'm all for this. I'm really going for it. You know, I'm listening in. I'm intent and I'm waiting for the great leap forward. And we'll see what happens.
Okay. All right. Well, enjoy your cheese and toast. And thanks for calling us today. I want to go to Julian now. Hi, Julian.
Hi, Andy. How are you doing?
Well, terrific. Thank you. Yes, it looks like the clouds are rolling away, so more blue sky.
Yeah, it could be good. It's a bit cooler than it was, but actually it's kind of nice too. It's a reasonable temperature, so perhaps not quite as warm. Andy Burnham, by the way, forgive me, but he's not been elected, has he? This is another installation of somebody, isn't it?
Well, it's like the one that Labour criticised when they just parachuted in Rishi Sunak, wasn't it?
Correct, yeah. Funny that, isn't it? We don't seem to be doing much in the way of elections anymore. It seems to be, don't know.
Well, the thing is, at least on the Isle of Man now, we only have a chief minister every 5 years. In the UK, their prime ministers are like London buses, aren't they?
Well, that's right. And it's interesting what they're thinking as well and what they put in their manifestos. You and I have had this conversation many times. And it was interesting listening to yesterday's perspective. Phil Gorn interviewed Bradley Chambers, who came to the Isle of Man less than 3 years ago from Jersey in the Channel Islands to become head of registration and inspection at the Department of Health and Social Care, overseeing that care services comply with regulations. And I don't know, there's been one or two things going on with Ramsey Cottage Hospital and somebody not having a very nice time up at the hospital recently. I wonder if he's taken account of that. He's also the Manx Bard. He stated yesterday on Perspective that allowing Katie Hopkins to perform at the Gaiety Theatre, despite it being a sellout show, should be stopped. He also said he'd like to debate Katie, which I think that would be a fascinating debate. And I think she's over this week. It'd be quite interesting to hear that one. I'd definitely reserve time for that. But I'm just wondering if Phil Gorn realises that Bradley has made public statements such as, and I quote, "Communism demonstrates an ability and willingness to act in the interests of humanity." I seem to remember 10 million died under Stalin, didn't they, Andy?
And quite a few in China as well.
Yeah, I think so. He also was talking up in 2020 about China and its decisive actions to lock everyone down and run stuff like that. So I think he seems to be quite in favour of this type of model of how you dictate to the people. And I also noticed that last year on his Facebook profile picture, he did a selfie with a statue of Lenin, which is interesting. I mean, I don't know what that says, but most people who do a Facebook profile, usually it kind of comes across as what they believe in. But it does open up this question about freedom of speech. And, you know, I think what she's getting at is she's quite concerned about what's been going on over in the UK. And I think she's using humour to try and highlight some of the things that are going on, but I don't know. Interesting.
Well, I think yesterday I heard that programme. He also said he didn't believe in the monarchy as well.
Yeah. And also, I believe the Lieutenant Governor was due to go to see the show. I think he should go and see the show. He can do whatever he likes, I would have thought. I don't see why he should be... why should anyone telling the Lieutenant Governor what to do? Or anyone else. And anyone that wants to go to the show, go. If you don't like it, don't go. I think that's the... you know, there are certain other people that are coming on over the next weeks that would be controversial on another way. And nobody's saying anything about that. So...
Okay.
Balance. Last week's Moore Vanning consenting hearing... there was an interesting conversation between the panel and Amy Stirling, who's one of the lawyers for Orsted. And it was talk about a request for an EPS license, which is the Conservation of Offshore Marine Habitats and Species Regulation 2017. Now, this applies to the UK, according to Amy Stirling. It only applies to England's territorial waters and Wales territorial waters. But she said, and I quote, there's no requirement for the applicant, namely Ørsted, to obtain an EPS licence. So if you remember a while ago, we said that the Wildlife Act wasn't watered down, but its influence on outside of the high water mark and out to the territorial water borderline had been moved to the MIMA legislation, which doesn't really have a lot of protections in it. So Ørsted are basically saying we don't really have to worry about conservation of offshore marine habitats and species regulations. So are they seeing this as kind of an easy win for them because there isn't actually they don't have to adhere to the European Union and UK legislation when it comes to protecting species and habitat?
What do you think?
What's that? I mean, there's no requirement for the applicant to obtain an EPS license. I think that kind of encapsulates what she said. I mean, that is exactly what she said. There were some other kind of interesting, what was it they said? They said that the amount of sediment that's going to be disturbed just on this one offshore wind farm would be 280 million cubic meters or 366 million cubic yards. To put that into perspective, if you pile that up in the confines of a football pitch, it would reach 24 miles high, which would be three times higher than an airliner and the size of a football pitch. So it's kind of a lot of stuff that's being moved around out there. I also notice tomorrow in Tynwald, they're going to be discussing a piece of legislation to do with the Energy Act and a change to the an amendment to the regulations to include what amounts to access zones around offshore wind farms. It doesn't necessarily specify, it just says offshore renewables. So that isn't that putting the cart before the horse when you're starting to enforce no-go areas on offshore renewables when we haven't even had the consenting done yet?
Well, they probably just think it's preparation.
Well, yeah, yes, I think you're quite right there. And why is that? What is this preparation for? I don't know. This is definitely cart before the horse, Andy. I mean, why would you bother spending all the taxpayers' money on all this legal stuff when you don't know for sure? I mean, it's approaching 10,000 people that have said no to Morvanin. So is this really a done deal when you see that tomorrow they'll be talking about this amendment to try and put basically an access zone around offshore wind farms? And, you know, you've seen the map probably. I mean, they're talking about five or six of these things. One off Douglas, a huge one. One off Langness. Another one behind the Calf. Another one, one the size of Morvanin off Peel. And then another one northwest of Jerby. So it's going to be ring around the roses with that, isn't it?
Okay. All right. Julian, we appreciate you calling today.
Thanks, Andy. Cheers.
18 minutes past 12. I don't know whether you heard last Thursday, David Pope, the chair of FC Isle of Man, and chief exec Russ Kent were talking about the future for the Ravens. First match is Saturday, 1st of August, against FC St Helens in the Northwest Counties League Premier Division. Thanks to Denny and Bill, that's Denise and Bill, who just said, we're really looking forward to the new season under new manager. Lee Dixon is in charge. I think Rick Holden is still around in the background, but Lee Dixon is in charge of the team this year. So there'll certainly be plenty of attacking play anyway. Thank you, Denny. Thank you, Bill. This coming Wednesday, we're live from Castle Rushen High School with the students in Year 12 and 13. And on Thursday, live behind bars. Man in Line goes to the Isle of Man prison this coming Thursday. Well, let's listen to Bradley Chambers. The current Manx Bard believes that taxpayers who fund the Gaiety Theatre shouldn't be allowing Katie Hopkins to perform. He said that he thinks the Gaiety Theatre's decision to book her goes against the stated values. Katie Hopkins performs her free range show at the Gaiety on Thursday. It's sold out, apparently, and she's attracted controversy for her views on various subjects, social class, immigration, politics. This is Bradley Chambers, the Manx Bard, the person that Julian was referring to.
The issue is that the Gaiety Theatre is being used as a venue for Katie Hopkins to perform, I'm not sure that's the right word to use, but certainly appear. And I don't think that's appropriate. It's the cultural central hub of the island, the cultural epicentre of the Isle of Man. And Katie Hopkins being there is not in line with the stated values of Villa Gaiety or the Department for Education, Sport and Culture.
So what do you mean by that?
Well, Katie Hopkins, we have to remember who she is. She's a former brand and business consultant who became a reality TV star and media personality. She's made a career from spreading a message of hate and division. And in contrast to that, the theatre, Isle of Man Arts Council, the Department of Education, Sport and Culture, each state that they have values, and it's my suggestion that they ought to adhere more closely to those stated values.
But Katie Hopkins, I mean, I'm sure she's big enough to defend herself, and if she wanted to come into one of our programmes, I'm sure she'd be welcome. But I imagine she would say, well, look, I'm saying, well, first of all, she describes herself as a comic, and secondly, she would probably say she's just saying what most people think.
Well, I hope that's not true. I think that the majority of people on the Isle of Man are decent and tolerant. It's certainly true that there's a section of society that isn't. It's true that there's a small minority that is outwardly and blatantly racist, and that's the same elsewhere in the British Isles as it is in the Isle of Man. I don't think she's saying what people are thinking at all. I think what she's really doing is homing in on specific minorities and actually causing discontent, discord, division, quite unnecessarily, and for her own aims and agenda.
That's Bradley Chambers, who is the current Manx Bard. He's the poet, and you can hear more about him tonight on Agenda with Phil Gorn. Let's get to the phones again, and we've got Richard with us now. Hi, Richard.
Hi, Andy.
Yeah, what's on your mind?
I'm chair of Garth Commissioners currently, Andy, and I just wanted to talk to you about what happened at the Mima Wind Farm Inquiry on Friday.
Okay.
Because what I heard there, Dr. Allenson appeared and talked, was really quite concerning, not only for the residents of Garth, but for all the residents of the island now. Garth Commissioners and myself and the rest of the board have been there and attended pretty much all the hearings, all the inquiries. We've read the reams of paperwork. We've tried to understand deeply technical information. And we're trying to represent the people of the community. Now, not everybody in the community, obviously, is against the wind farm, but after two public meetings and getting questionnaires in and a lot of emails, and Garth Commissioners have come to the conclusion that, of course, you know, we're here to represent the majority of the people of Garth, and we feel we are doing that, and majority of the people of Garth are not for this proposal. So on Friday at a MEMA meeting 10, Garth Commissioners were asked to attend, and I was there to represent a summary of some 100-odd residents' questionnaire forms that came in, and obviously that 100, we sort of summarised about 73 of them, of which 69 were against and 3-4. So it's clear to say that this is not a representation of the 5,000-odd people that live in Garth, and they're not everybody who is for something, attends meetings or fills in questionnaires, but still it does give us an indication that the people of Garth, or the majority of them, are not for this proposal. So my job was to wade through the hours and hours of very technical information that was being sort of discussed around the table between the solicitors, the MEMA hearing board, and our government representatives. And my job was to go on and represent the views of the people of Garth. So before my time came along, I saw Dr. Allenson walk in and sit down, and then he was asked to stand up, and he gave a presentation that summarised the position of government, or certainly the position of government when he was a Treasury Minister, and how government's felt that this scheme was good for the island's finances, etc., and the island's future. I took the trouble to time that, and after that meeting, and after that sort of presentation, it was discussed around the table with various other government bodies, and then I put my hand up and asked to put my point of view across, and I said that my summaries of the entire residents of Garth, and I feel they have you know, a right to have their voices heard, yeah. And I was there to represent them. I said that I think my summary of the 140 questionnaires filled in came to about 8 minutes. The chairman of the panel, who we'd sat patiently through a lot of technical information all morning, and said that I had 4 minutes to give my presentation, even though Dr. Arnson had almost double that. So I had to cut an awful lot of my responses out, and in fairness to the chairman of the panel, she said that the document is submitted and they can read through all the various comments. But I just want to just sort of let you know that I think really the people of Garth are not really getting their voices heard, and we've attended every public meeting, and we are trying to stick up for the people of Garth, and I didn't really want to come onto Manx Radio and say this, but I feel that the whole sort of operation is a little bit one-sided. Dr. Allison's submission was quite worrying, and it's not only worrying for the people of Garth, it's worrying for the people of the whole island, because he said this was a test case and wind farms could be located in other locations around the island, and he spoke up to 9 gigawatts of wind farm capacity in Manx waters. It's 9 gigawatts. More Bannon's proposal is 1.4 gigawatts, so just by doing the maths, that's kind of up to 6 more wind farms ringing the island. So this is not a Garth constituency thing anymore. This is an island situation now.
What do you think of what Dr. Ellinson had to say? What, I mean, what was his motivation? Because he's leaving politics.
Well, to be honest, he put a very good case over the island's current economic state. And very shortly after that, within hours of that, Chief Minister was on social media refuting Dr. Allinson's claims and saying that that wasn't the entire case. Now, I have to tell you, Garth commissioners and Garth area are kind of the centre of independent thought on the Morvan and Wynne proposal, because we have done more research than anybody else. And we have done independent research. We've had no independent research. We have had no balanced view from the government, no critical view from the government whatsoever. And I have to say that from the point of view of sitting at a chair and watching the process take place, I definitely felt it was a very one-sided proposal. And the people there to represent us, our government officers, were very almost compliant with everything that was going on. And it seemed to be almost like a consenting process rather than any kind of critical kind of hearing. And that's deeply worrying. But I just come on to really say that, to ask your listeners, what is the truth then? Is there going to be 6 wind farms around the island? Is this the test bed for more wind farms? And if it is, what is the government's policy on more wind farms?
Are you surprised by what you've heard, Richard?
No, we already knew this. Garth commissioners knew this all along. We've done the research. We have in the office over 12 folders that are 3 or 4 inches thick of all the proposals for the Moore Vannon thing. Do you know that we were not even entitled to the paperwork? We had to ask Cabinet Office for the paperwork to look into this. And we were told we could go and get it and read it at Ramsey Library. And we had to actually force them to give us the paperwork so we could read through it, and all our board. We're here to do local authority things, bins, lighting, street furniture, that kind of thing. We're not here to read deeply technical information on a massive proposal that it's the biggest project that's ever happened in the Isle of Man. And I've got to say that I think that it's been a tremendous struggle for all of our board. But we've come to the conclusion, because this was the last hearing on Friday that we could appear at. And I had made this presentation and was given 4 minutes to provide it. And I was a bit angry about it, to be honest, when I left, that Dr. Allinson is now going MHK. was given more opportunity, more time to represent his thoughts than I was for the whole of the constituency of Garth. But this has gone bigger than Garth now. This has gone to the island. And I'd ask everybody that, you know, if you want to see it, by the way, all you have to do is go on the Manx, on the MEMA website and watch Hearing 10's video, and you'll see Dr. Allinson's presentation and my trying to get my point across and putting my hand up constantly trying to ask to speak, and I felt it was quite diluted out, really. So what I'd really say, Andy, in conclusion is I would ask everybody in this election that's coming up, we have a unique opportunity here now to find out what exactly is going on, what's happening with the Manx economy. Dr. Allinson, who was our Treasury Minister at the beginning of this year, is now saying this, and Alf Cannon's now saying that. Where's the truth?
Right.
Dr. Allinson's saying about all these wind farms around the island encircling the entire island. This is an issue for Peel now. It's an issue for Ramsey. It's an issue for the south of the island. And you need to know. So I would say that when people knock on your doorstep and they're asking for your vote, the first question that every person, every Manx member of the public needs to ask is, what's your view on the wind farms? And if they say they can't answer, it's either because they want to be in the Council of Ministers, in which case they can't answer because they may be recluse from the decision-making within the Council of Ministers. But if they ask them if they want to be a minister, and if they don't, there's no reason why they can't reply to your right. question and ask them, does right. this include, do you know if these policies include wind farms all around the Isle of Man? What is the current state of our finances on the Isle of Man? Because according to the Pink Book, in 2030, we'll be paying back into our reserves again. So this is only a temporary blip. And I must say that we've done a calculation, and the £50 million that the Morvana proposal is bringing in is only going to it's only going to go into a great big black hole. If we made less than 3% of efficiencies in this monster of a bloated government, we could save the £50 million pounds, and we would not need to encircle our island with this industrial landscape.
Richard, is it fair to say that this the Morvanin thing is kind of taking your life over at the moment? You didn't sign up for this as a commissioner, did you?
Not at all. Absolutely not at all. It's affected my ability to attend other functions on the island for local authority. My own family events I can't attend. Emails, taking and making emails while I was camping on holiday in Germany. It's completely taken over our lives in the last year and a half.
I just want to ask you, Richard, when this subject comes up, and it must come up all the time, what's your gut reaction? What's your emotional thing? Are you optimistic about this, or do you get a sinking feeling?
It's going to go ahead because we've no way of stopping it, really, because the MEMA examination, even if the Board of Examiners decide to refuse it, council ministers should refuse it. Those who go back in as Council of Ministers, if there's not enough, they can call in. They are undecided on how they're going to come to this conclusion. They may have to call in other members, maybe members from MLCs who are unelected, and you know, they're going to get a collection of people together who are going to pass it through. And in my opinion, and I think it's a very it seems very unfair in the last year and a half of attending almost every meeting and reading all the paperwork. It seems like almost a consenting process, and it's deeply worrying. But the Manx public have the chance to try and turn it round by asking questions on the doorstep. And I know there are people who are listening who will be for the proposal, but the deal that's been signed that we haven't seen because it's secret is purportedly, you know, I think Michelle Hayward may have let it slip last year that I think they've got £10,000 a year for the rental of the seabed, where in fact the UK Crown dependencies are getting up to millions or hundreds of millions every year for the same rental. So that is a bad deal for the start off, and I haven't got great confidence in the government's ability to deal with large infrastructure projects, as we all know. So I can't see it being a particularly a fabulous deal. I will just finish off by saying that during Wednesday's hearing, the solicitor for Orsted actually stated that they have no contractual obligation to send a cable ashore for locally produced power. They have no obligation to send, legal obligation to send any discounted power back to us through the interconnector. And also they have no legal obligation for landscape enhancements. Now, landscape enhancements is something that they may do to, make the area of Garth and the pathways and the trees and parks more interesting to look at, so you can look inwards to the island rather than outwards at the wind farm. And they have no legal obligation to provide any of that. And they were basically there to get permission to put a wind farm in and send the power to the UK and give the Isle of Man government money, because that's what the contract is. And she's absolutely right. That's what the contract is.
Okay.
All right. So there we are.
Richard,
so
I appreciate your call today.
I just want your listeners to make sure they question the people on the doorstep and find out what's going on.
Okay. Appreciate your call, Richard. Thanks for calling Man in Line today.
Simply Income Protection from Kestrel Insurance. A choice of benefits. Simple underwriting and peace of mind with a regular income for up to 2 years if you're unable to work due to illness or injury. Kestrel Insurance is registered with the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority.
Geoffrey, that suit looks terrible. The sleeves are far too long and it doesn't button up in the middle. You need Made to Measure.
Made to Measure? See if I could afford that.
You didn't complain when Spectrum made all our bespoke windows.
Ah, that was different. At Spectrum, you get a bespoke service at an off-the-shelf price, whether you choose quality PVC or aluminium.
Visit Spectrum Windows, the showroom, Derby Road, Ramsey, or call 817777.
Visit Ramsey Art Gallery for a fabulous range of top brand watches and stunning gold and silver jewellery, gifts for all occasions, and of course our gallery of prints and original artworks. Find all this and more at Ramsey Art Gallery Jewellers and Engravers opposite the RNLI shop.
Got a nice motor to sell? Come and see us.
We are number one. We are family run. Mike's Motors. Mike's Motors.
At Mike's Motors, we don't just sell nice motors, we buy them too. So if you've a nice camper van, motorhome, car, van or commercial vehicle, we'd love to take a look at it. And if we like it, we'll make you a nice offer. Get in touch. Visit mikesmotors.im or call 823 200.
Mike's Motors.
That's 823 200.
Most builders start with a hammer and saw. Manx Construction start with ideas and imagination. For new build, extension or home office, Manx Construction offer full service from planning to completion. Call Tony on 452 688.
A great night's sleep got even better with Zed's Bedding Store. From quality Beldorm bed linen and mattress protectors, fleece and woven throws, to luxury duvets from the fine bedding company, Zed's Bedding Ramsey, next to Isle of Man Bank.
The countdown to the next Isle of Man general election is officially on. On Thursday, the 24th of September, you'll get to have your say on who you think should represent you in the House of Keys. And here at Manx Radio, we've got all the information you need to help you make your choice. We'll be playing out our full interviews with all the candidates each weekday from just before 11:30, and they'll also be available as podcasts shortly after broadcast, and you can watch them on our YouTube channel. And don't forget, for everything you need to know about the upcoming election, you can head to our dedicated website. Just go to manxradio.com to find out more.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
22 minutes now before 1. CC on 775. I've just spoken to a very happy, helpful lady at the Welcome Centre who informed me there's a waiting list for tickets for the Gaiety Theatre for Katie Hopkins. I'm now on the list with a plus one, so fingers crossed I get a call, but apparently it's a long list. I don't know who that man is trying to stop people having a choice to see celebrities at shows or watch whatever we like. It's not his right to stop us. My opinion says CC us. Grow up, to that man who spoke out. For goodness sake, I think it's petty-minded. Here's Juan now. Hi, Juan.
It was too windy for the Vikings to land on Saturday, Andy.
Apparently, well, the original Vikings never had that problem, did they? They just arrived.
I know, it must be these electric packs that they've got in these Viking boats these days. Can't handle the boarding. Did you go and did you do any stretching on Sunday? Did you go to the Pilates?
I didn't, sadly. Why were you there?
I was somewhere else, but I believe it was a massive load of people there, and it was absolutely great. Maybe a start of a good event. I think John Rhys-Davies spoke and said that the potential for Pilates tourism and having it as an annual event. He said it could be good, and I suppose with government being, shall I excuse the pun, stretched with their finances at the moment, it might bring some more money in for them.
Well, they didn't quite break the record, did they? Apparently they were about 350 short of breaking that record in Turkey, but we certainly had the weather for it.
Absolutely, yeah, and I'd say everything on the island revolves around the weather, doesn't it? It makes the place look absolutely brilliant. So let's get on to the hot subject of the week, Bradley Chambers and that Katie Hopkins. You know, isn't it funny that this whole thing that's developed in the last, what, decade or so of the snowflake society, and, you know, we're happy with free speech as long as it doesn't offend us, as long as it's what we want. And it isn't it quite bizarre? I look at, I had a friend of mine who was Chubby Brown's security man for years, Tony Walsh. He travelled with Chubby Brown, and the stories he used to tell me that Roy got in trouble over the years being so offensive back in the days of the Cleveland and the Hillsborough things, and there was riots in some places. Now, Chubby Brown has booked the hall, or the Villa have booked him, whichever, to come back this year. I remember Bernard Manning in his day. We used to offend everybody, but it was comedy. And after watching Jimmy Carr last year, I don't understand why people are all so upset about Katie Hopkins. She's current, and she's got a lot of following. And these people always leave it till the last minute to try and cause disruption. Them tickets for Katie's been on sale for 6 months, 7 months, maybe longer. Why 2 days before to try and stir and cause disruption? I don't get these people. You know, it's like if someone was transphobic, we could all complain about Eddie Izzard being on the Gaiety Theatre. That should be against our arts and cultures. But no one is. So why are you just picking on one person? I mean, she's obviously relative with what she's saying with the things that's going on in England at the moment. And as Katie said to me a couple of years ago, the first time she was here, the amount of people now that are doing speakeasies in England, people who have got so much distress with what's going on and want to talk to each other about, in comfort about things that's going on. It's not racism. It's just relevant to what's going on at the moment. And as for our Bard saying that he thinks Katie would not debate with him, I beg to differ on that. I've watched Katie doing the Oxford and Cambridge debating halls. I think it would be quite good. Now, she's got a spare day, I think, Andy. I'll give her a ring and see if you can get her on, eh?
Well, I mean, dissent is always good. So he's venting his opinion about, well, many things, actually. You can hear him tonight talking about the monarchy and communism and all sorts of things as well. And he's a poet, so he's allowed an opinion, isn't he? I mean, and say he's not. He doesn't say. Does he say she should be banned? Does he say she should be no platformed?
He's a poet, and he didn't know it. You know what? I mean, if you listen back to it a couple of times and you pick out the stuff in there, you know, a little bit of venomism in these people's voices about it. Bonds will be on in a minute. I'm surprised he's not on waiting now. But, you know, if she's booked the hall, if she falls on her face, she ain't going to make any money. She won't come back. As it happens, she's sold out. So what does that say? I don't think many people are going to be having a sellout show to watch Bradley do his poetry, but there you go. Everyone to their own. Let her speak her piece. If you don't like it, go and watch Emmerdale Farm or something. Go and do something else. And as for the person that's looking for the two tickets there, I believe there's a couple going up at Government House. So if you just ring the doorbell and ask for John, I think he's got a couple spare there now.
All right. I take it you'll be going, June, then, yeah?
Yes, I think we'll be going, yes. I had a few words with Katie the last time she was over. I think I'll be going just for the laugh. It's comedy.
All right, 17 minutes to one. Thanks for that, Juan. Here's Eddie with us now. Hi, Eddie.
Hi, mate, you all right?
Very well, thanks. What's on your mind?
Just listening to one or two of the comments again. I only come back the other day. I've been away for 10 days. And I can't believe we're still going down the road of the wind turbines. And the relevance is, while I was away, I met a guy who is retired now, 3 years ago, but he was in charge of Dungeness Power Station.
Right.
And he said, once he found out I was from the Isle of Man, excuse me, He was saying, oh, what a beautiful place he's visited a few times. And I said, oh, well, I told him the recent sort of things that the government are thinking of doing. He said, oh, blimey, surely they're not going down that road. And I said, well, what makes you say that? So he said, well, he's not trying to sell nuclear power, because that's what he was, but he said the Isle of Man would be the ideal place for one of the Rolls Royce. You'd never have to think twice again. And I said, well, it's an alternative. I said, but our government don't seem to look at any alternative whatsoever. And it just summed up what I've said over and over again. There needs to be a bloody inquiry about what's going on this island. Why are we going down one track? This guy was also telling me that everywhere around the world, they are now finding out that their lifespan, that they tell us, is not anywhere near like it. And nearly every country that's gone in for the wind power are finding out that they're having to spend fortunes on renewing new blades, motors, this, that and the other, and they're not worth a penny now, and they're getting rid of them. So why are we going down the stupid route of going for them and wrecking the whole island? I've just found out that they're planning on all the way around the island.
And do you think that might be anything to do with the fact that the wind farm that Ørsted are promising us won't cost us anything? Whereas if we were to go down the route of one of those Rolls-Royce mini nuclear generators, you know, the KTEL generators, that would cost us billions. Now, we get a wind farm for free and some money off the back of it, or we have to purchase our own nuclear power. So which do you think is better value?
Well, I just mentioned one there. How many times have I said that we should be looking at every one of them? And when you said the cost there, Andy, the cost is not the money, it's the way they would wreck the Isle of Man. These things will wreck the Isle of Man totally. They'll kill the fishing industry all around the Isle of Man. They will kill the land itself. We're supposed to be getting greener and greener, but they're going to wreck the whole place.
But
honestly,
remember, Eddie, there are some people who only look at the bottom line. They understand figures. They understand the accountant's view of everything. And the Moore Vannin wind farm is a guaranteed payback to the Isle of Man. Everything else is a bit of a gamble.
It will cost the Isle of Man and the Manx people an arm and a leg. I can guarantee you. We've spent 3 years studying all this lot, and it's not what the Isle of Man wants. And if they're not careful and they carry on just doing what they do, they're going to end up with a general strike on their hands. I can see it, honestly, because I would stand up straight away for a general strike. This government are not listening. There's water power, there's geothermal, there's nuclear, there's everything. But they're going down one track. That's because the people out here think they've already signed the contracts. And if they have, they're going to get into a bad way. They're going to be in trouble.
Okay. All right. Eddie, good to hear from you today. Thanks for calling. It's 12 minutes before one.
When the man in line's not on air, call Manx Radio to leave your opinion for broadcast on 682 631.
Hello, this is Doug Farragher. In conjunction with Manx Radio, I'd like to invite you to join us and learn something about our native Gaelic tongue, the language of man.
I love to drive. Drive smarter. Drive more reliable. Drive a great deal at Mannin Motors. With a superb range of cars for every budget, always available. And if we don't have it, we'll source it. Plus, servicing, valeting and prestige detailing too. Mannin Motors, Richmond Hill, Douglas. Find us on Facebook or call 420-420. That's 420-420. Drive a better bargain at Mannin Motors.
Ramsey Care Products is now opened in St Paul's Square, Ramsey. An Aladdin's cave of stock including mobility scooters, Rise recliners, household aids and more. Call 627 177 to find out more. Ramsey Care Products. Affordable mobility solutions for you.
Big Red Storage in Tramode and Ronald's Way offers secure self-storage units in various sizes with ground floor options and 24-7 access. Check offers and prices using our online space calculator at bigred.im or call 640040.
Go al fresco in style with the Lifestyle Furniture Garden and Outdoor Furniture Collection. We've handpicked a gorgeous range of luxurious lounge sets, comfy corner groups, and chic outdoor bars. And they're just perfect for those long, lazy weekends. All with free delivery island-wide. Browse online or explore our outdoor marquee. Your gardens for good living with Lifestyle Furniture. Find us at Snugborough Trading Estate, Union Mills. Open 7 days a week.
Ramsey Garden Centre opens 7 days a week for an extensive range of exclusive products, garden gifts and ornaments, solar water features and offers throughout the garden centre. Grow smarter, greener, season after season with Ramsey Garden Centre.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
A note in from Rich, who just said Roy Chubby Brown's playing the Gaiety Theatre on the 20th of August next year, and it's a bit more offensive than Katie Hopkins. I wonder whether the Manx Bard will be moaning about that. Howard's with us now. Hi, Howard.
Hello, Andy. Just from saying about the Pilates over the weekend, you don't hear much mention of a similar situation. It was all about Knockalo, but in Hutchison Square,
right,
in Douglas, they had a group of musicians. It was all part of the internee system, the promenade and all up around that neck of the woods. And they became the Amadeus String Quartet.
I think I've heard about. They used to call Hutchinson Square the university, didn't they? Because there were so many intelligent, clever people there.
Yep. Even Parkfield, right up the top at St. Ninian's, that was used as part of an internment system. And they used to keep, how can I say, the hierarchy, the people who are worth swapping others for.
Right.
Because my brother's got a letter that it's written in German, and he's trying to trace the family in Germany who this particular letter was being sent to. But that aside, the Amadeus String Quartet, they travelled the world after forming the group here. And they were violin, cello and all that. They weren't like a jazz session or nothing. They were classical music. And if it just puts it into Google, Amadeus String Quartet, you'll get the history of it. And as I say, it was all formed here. And a lot of little things like that all came out, the goodness all came out of these internment camps, not prisoner of war camps, internment camps. And Knockalo, it had a bigger population than Douglas. There was 22,000 internees there. Their own bakery. They even had an extension to the Foxdale railway line going up into the camp. And quite a number of the huts after the war were sold. And I do believe there's one still on Avondale Road, I think. They've got up towards Signpost Corner.
Really?
Yeah, but it's not, you won't know it as that now because it's been built over. It's had another house built right over the top of it, but these were sold all over the island. And when you went up the drive to Knockalo Farm, the concrete wall structure on your right-hand side were the concrete bases for the huts that were there on the camp.
Right.
It did become what they call the government experimental farm, where they try the different types of wheat, etc., or different grains. But yeah, that was an amazing complex of people. You know, when you think of it being bigger than Douglas,
yeah.
Douglas, even in the most recent times, only been 21,000. There was 22,000 men out there, and this man, Joseph Pilates, had a damn good, brilliant idea of exercise. And the people, as you know, and they proved it on yesterday, where they over 3,000 people went out, it's still in existence, very much so. But anybody's listening on the island here now, and they just pump into Google or whatever they use, Amadeus String Quartet, and it's another little thing that the government and the people of the island tend to forget the goodness that come out of all these things.
Okay. But that wasn't why you called.
No, but I'll give that a chance tomorrow because okay. I was late coming in. I'll come on tomorrow. It's nothing spectacular. It's just a little bit more, well, grey matter information.
Okay.
And I'll come on tomorrow. But it's just when Dewan mentioned about the Pilates thing, I thought, well, yes. But say all Hutchison Square, all around that area, was all part and parcel of the internee camp.
Okay. All right, Howard. Thanks for calling today.
Thanks, then. Take care.
Okay, bye. So remember, this coming Wednesday, we're going to be live at Castle Rushen High School with the sixth formers, years 12 and 13, probably be years 12. They break up on Thursday, so hopefully there'll be no shenanigans. And on Thursday, I'll be live at the prison, or actually inside the prison, talking to the people who... I'm really looking forward to this. Last time we did a man in line from prison, it was Victoria Road. It was that long ago. Is it each person's right to listen to another's opinion? It's always their right to be enthralled by celebrity. Nowadays, celebrities are a thousand a penny, often being a celebrity by the simple fact they're a celebrity. It's worth remembering some of the worst dictators and spouters of hate and division were celebrities of their day. People are too easily starstruck and believe the truth of the views proclaimed, says is it husband Eric? One of them, anyway. Thanks for those opinions. So anything else you wanted to say, by the way, remember the answer phone's always on 682 631. If you want to say something out of hours, you can play that back easy as anything. The email address out of hours is maninline@manxradio.com. And remember, this coming Thursday, the Commonwealth Games gets underway. Our sports editor, Rob Pritchard, will be off to Glasgow, reporting back on the Manx contingent. And 4 weeks, crikey, is it 4 weeks this coming Sunday? It's MGP and Classic TT from Sunday, August the 16th to Friday, August the 28th. Of course, we'll be on air with Manx Radio Motorsport, all the practice and all the races. Oh, I mentioned, didn't I, this week that we're in the prison. Now, a week on Wednesday, the 29th, the Chief Constable's going to be on the air with us on Man in Line. Again, if you want to get a question in, you know how to do it. That's it. Thanks to Lexi on the phones today. WINT.